Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
We are staying up. Hello and welcome to the final Tarlehurst End podcast extra of 2017-18 with me, Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and joining me on this bank holiday Monday to look back on the game that secured Reading safety and the season in general is the Working in Papers, Tom Crocker. Morning, Tom. How's it going?
Morning, Ollie. Good, thank you. Good to be recording, not all doom and gloom for once.
Yep, we finally took it to the last day, but safety is finally secured.
Yeah, it's like I say, far from pretty, but I think it's they had to go there and get a point, got the point, and as it mattered elsewhere, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But they've got their job done, and yeah, we can sort of go into the summer a bit happier now.
Yeah, I mean, in truth, what actually happened during that 0-0 at Cardiff won't be remembered for very long. And there was a lack of sort of real goal scoring opportunities. I think Reading had one shot throughout the entire 90 minutes, but what it will be remembered for will be the game that, of course, sent Cardiff up to the Premier League, and we wish them the best next season. But more importantly, from our point of view, it was the game that kept Reading up. And I think it's fair to say, Tom, that both of us were fairly confident that we wouldn't go down, but it was still sort of a huge relief for the full-time whistle to blow for us not to be in the bottom three.
Yeah, so like I say, it was when there's still a chance, you're always a bit worried. And obviously, the score from Barnsley and Derby sort of settled any sort of nerves, really. And as it turned out, Reading obviously got the point they needed, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway from other results. They did their job, but yeah, the results elsewhere certainly helped, and it's also obviously led to that strange last couple of minutes when nobody wanted the ball. They just stood around at the back, just passing the ball around. But it was obviously not a great game. It was, like you say, one that will be quickly forgotten in terms of the actual game itself. But I think you've got to give credit to Reading. They've let in 7 goals in the last 2 weeks. Awful defending for nearly all of those goals, and they weren't overly troubled really yesterday. They defended professionally, did a job there. Obviously had to still make a change as well with sub when Laurie came off, and they still managed to get through that okay. And as it turns, I'd say they've gone there to get a point, and that's what they've done. You can't really expect them to go there and do too much else given the way the season's gone, the way the last recent weeks have gone. So I don't think anyone would have expected, I think most people expected Reading to go there and lose, to be honest. So it's certainly a positive result. It's not a brilliant performance sort of going forwards, but defensively they've done their job, stood up to a lot of balls into the box, and they can take a point, take a clean sheet, and that there'll be some sort of positive for the Paul Clement, I think, to look at on that sort of game and to try and build on into the summer. And yeah, it's like you say, job done, staying up, and I think that's got to be the main focus from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in the end, as we mentioned, because Burton and Barnsley both lost, Reading's result was irrelevant, but still in isolation, a point and a clean sheet against a Premier League bound side is very, very impressive. And also, we obviously, because we drew 2-2 with Cardiff at the Masthead in December, we haven't actually lost to them this season, which is a good record to have. Obviously, Reading stayed calm, composed, which we haven't said much about them this season, and we're pretty solid for the majority of the game and allowed Cardiff sort of few real clear-cut opportunities.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see if it may have been a little bit different had Fulham been winning. You might have seen Cardiff push on a little bit more, but the way it was going, everyone was fairly content with the point, but Cardiff was still the team that were obviously pushing. Like you say, Reading had one shot all day, and Cardiff were trying to get that win up until about sort of 70, 80 minutes. I think that's sort of settled down a bit then, but yeah, like it wasn't any, no real nervy moments of note. Obviously, a few times balls go into the box and a few sort of half-hired penalty claims, you're never too sure, but yeah, they stood up to it well, and Cardiff, like I say, they were pushing for the win. And Reading, like I say, especially after recent weeks, really, it's just so pleasing to actually see them defending properly, fully focused on getting that job done, getting that point. Yeah. And like I say, obviously you had to play Thiago Laurie out of position at right back. Thought he was really good until he had to come off as well. And yeah, it's something positive to look at, because obviously if you look at the last couple of weeks, you'd say the whole team needs ripping up really. You don't know where it's going next year, but now at least you can take some sort of positive from it. You know that they can, this game and the wins over Preston and QPR, they can dig in and defend, and that's something they've got to build on next year. Now there's people in that team that maybe can have an impact next year that maybe a few weeks ago we didn't think they could. So yeah, I think it's got to be looked at as a positive. Obviously the fans are going to want to see more adventurous football going forwards next season, but considering the situation, I think everyone will take what happened yesterday, be fairly happy with that. And yeah, like I said, it's job done, and we go into the summer now with a bit more positivity, I think.
Certainly, I think Tommy Elphick, I thought, was particularly impressive at the back. He showed real character, sort of, to come back from his mistake last weekend and to make a crucial block tonight. It was denied Sean Morrison in Cardiff, and there's been talk of him potentially making his loan move from Aston Villa permanent this summer. Is this something you think Paul Clement might look to pursue? And from your point of view, would it be a good move? We haven't obviously seen that much of him, but we've sort of seen the good and the bad of him in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I've seen quite a lot of him from before that run when he was playing at Bournemouth, and he's really good there. And obviously, it didn't quite work out at Villa in the last year or so. I think he went there and was made captain straight away. So that sort of says a lot about him. And he played a good amount there, got an injury, and just couldn't get in when John Terry came in, couldn't get his place. And obviously, came to Reading, started well, and got that injury again. And he's done well to get back before the end of the season. And Paul Clement's clearly quite keen to put him in, get him in the team. Obviously, I think last week coming on as a centre back is quite difficult when he came on. And it looked a little bit rusty, I think. But yesterday, you know, another full week behind him, he looked a lot more composed, like you say. He made that big block. And yeah, I think he's someone that you need to look at. And if they do let him go back, they're going to have to get somebody else in. Will you be able to bring anyone in much better than Tommy Elphick? I'm not sure they will. I think it'd be good to try and get him over the line and tie him down if they can do. I think it sounds like there might be some sort of option to do that. So that could be something they look at fairly quickly, hopefully. And that would be one position sort of field that they don't need to look around elsewhere. So yeah, from my perspective, it'd be a good signing, and I think quite a lot of fans would be quite happy with him coming in as well.
I think certainly if you have centre-back options of sort of Liam Moore, Thiago Alori, Paul McShane and Tommy Elphick, it's quite an experienced and quite a settled sort of centre-back four, and you also got the likes of Axel Anderson potentially coming in from the academy. Now, we will get this out of the way now, Tom, because I know it must be difficult for you to hear, but you have unfortunately fallen just short in the prediction league. After neither you or West, you got the result right at Cardiff, meaning you finished on 27 points and he takes the crown on 28. You led for so long, but were overtaken in the final few weeks. What went wrong?
Reading kept losing. That's what went wrong. I think I was being far too optimistic and going for home wins when I think I've only seen them win at home twice all season or something, so I don't know why I kept doing that. But yeah, everyone seemed to keep getting the scores wrong, and I don't know how I was top so long, to be honest. I think that was the bigger mystery. But yeah, I think maybe second place, I think, okay, maybe. So we'll take that for a first season and go again next year.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be back stronger next season. A quick word on Cardiff too, because Neil Warnock has pulled off quite a remarkable turnaround at that club. And they were second from bottom when he came in October 2016. And no one gave them a chance of promotion at the start of this season, but they've done brilliantly to achieve. And it sort of it gives any team in the lower half of the table hope that you can go from sort of struggling to promotion contenders in the space of a year, and without spending loads of money either.
Yes, yeah, all about good management in this league, really. Every year the league changes so dramatically. You look at the teams that are up there this year, and obviously you've got some big hitters in the playoffs, but Wolves and Cardiff have come up, especially Cardiff. Obviously Wolves have spent a lot at it, but there's teams just outside the playoffs as well. I think obviously Preston and Mill are in and around there, so yeah, there's hope for obviously for Reading next year. I hope they can try and emulate that. But yeah, in terms of Cardiff, if they found a way to win these games, I think they're saying on Sky yesterday, Warnock sort of spotted an area in the Championship he can exploit in a way that teams won't like playing against him, and they found a way to win these games. They make it difficult, they get the ball in the box and they score goals and they defend well, and if you do that, you give yourself half a chance. And yeah, they fully deserve their promotion. They've been up there all year. It's sort of similar last year when the Reading and Huddersfield were up there. People were expecting them to drop off and they never did, and obviously it looked like they might have been overtaken by Fulham right at the end, but they've managed to get over the line. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see obviously it's Warnock 8th promotion, and you have to see how we'll do in the Premier League. I'm sure he'll rattle a few cages up there as well, so yeah, they'll fully deserve that to get promoted. And yeah, there'll be something a little bit different in the Premier League next year.
I mean, he's never historically done very well in the Premier League, but we'll have to wait and see. And obviously, it's always good to see Fulham drop out of the last minute as well. Reading will be hoping for a turnaround of their own next season as well. And for that to happen, they're going to have to bring in some quality over the pitch. I think no one's in any doubt about that. How much of sort of an overhaul are we expecting in the summer, Tom, as Paul Clement sort of outlined his vision for transfers?
Yeah, he's sort of tried to play it down a little bit just until they were safe, and obviously that only got confirmed yesterday. But yeah, the plans are there, and it sounds very much like it's not going to be a massive overhaul. It's the questions that we've asked, and that's what he said to us. He doesn't think they need to completely rip it up, but there will be a few additions to the squad. Obviously, I think it kind of will depend on who they can maybe move on and if they can get some money for them. But yeah, I think there's certainly some names he wants to go for, he's got his eye on. And yeah, I don't think it's going to be a massive overhaul there, because on the face of it, it's a squad that did finish third last year, and it's a squad that has got the quality in that team. Like you just mentioned, the centre-backs there, it's not a bad centre-back to choose from. There's things like that all over the pitch, really. But yeah, this squad does need strengthening. I think it needs freshening up, and he's fully aware of that. And I think there'll be a good handful of signings. I don't think it's going to be sort of a massive complete change to the 11 or anything like that, but I think there will be a bit of a different look to the team come the start next season. I think the team needs that as well. Now I think it, obviously saw this year the struggles that they were in, and if you don't strengthen, then it's gonna, you can't complain if it goes the same way again next season. So yeah, there'll be a few. I don't think there'll be massive amounts. Like I said, it depends on who they can get rid of, really. But
yep,
there's certainly some people that he wants to move on and get in. So yeah, I think it's going to be quite a busy summer.
Has there been any sort of indication on sort of the budget he'll be given? Obviously, we saw the Chinese owners were fairly willing to splash the cash last summer, spending big on the likes of Sonny Aluko. But are they likely to put in a lot of money again, or might it be a little bit more restrained this time around?
Again, that's something we have asked a few weeks in a row, but he said there's been no discussions between him and the owners or anything yet until the... Okay. Until they're sure what league they're in. So I suppose that sort of makes sense, and I think obviously this week now they'll probably sit down and discuss that. But yeah, obviously they'll have targets in mind that you imagine Brian Teverin would have been working on the last few weeks in the hope that they would be in the Championship. But in terms of the budget and things like that, it's something that Paul Clement says he hasn't discussed with the owners, but you'd like to think that it's obviously his first transfer window. They will try and back him, yep, if they can, but I think quite a lot of it, they have spent quite a bit in the last couple of windows, and I think they will need to move a few players on to make sure they can spend as well. So I think it's going to be a bit of a mix and match, really, who they can get rid of first. And I think they will try and back him, though. They've brought him in on a long-term deal, three-year deal, and they think he's the man, sort of the long-term future for Reading as well. So if that's the case, you've got to back him in the window, and I certainly think they'll try and do that if they can.
Yeah, what position would you say probably is the most important Reading strength in the summer? I think for me, the obvious place to look is probably up front. I doubt Chris Martin will probably sign permanently after his loan. Jan Kermigan sort of on his last legs, and the likes of Sam Smith, Danny Loder, and Andrijan Novakovic are probably still a little bit too young to rely on. So that really only leaves John Dalibor Varson. So for me, that's certainly a position that I feel is probably the most important to strengthen.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's been the same that's been said for the last two or three years. It seems every window where... looking for that striker. I think Bob Arson is a good person to keep around. I think he's done well this season, but I think he does need someone up there who's going to score more goals as well, if they are going to push up for promotion. So I think Paul Clement will certainly be looking at a striker. Obviously, he tried to play two against Sunderland and against Ipswich, and it didn't really work out. And you can see he would like to have that option, I think. And like you mentioned there, I think I presume Chris Martin won't be here next year. Jan might be here, but I don't think you can rely on him as a first choice striker. And then, I think you're purely short on numbers, first of all, and then I think you need to add quality up there as well. So that'll be one position he'll look at. I think he'll look at all over the pitch, though, to be honest. I think obviously we mentioned the wingers before. I think they're maybe a short there, central midfield. They could probably do another one if they can move one or two of those on. And and then I think he's pretty keen to get another fullback as well to sort of challenge Chris Gunter at right back. So I think, like I say, I think it's going to be quite a busy summer, and I think striker though has to be the number one priority, I think.
As for departures, technically anyone in the squad could leave, but we'll look at the players who are out of contract, so perhaps most likely to leave, starting with the goalkeepers. Quite a few goalkeepers are out of contract, actually. The deals are Jonathan Bond, Ansu Yokola, and Lewis Ward, who's been on loan at Aldershot this season, done very well. They're all out of contract this summer. Bond probably seems certain to depart. Well, I mean, from my point of view, I'd probably keep Ward to join the likes of Luke Southwood and George Legas back up to Vita Minnelli. That sort of probably leaves Ansu Yokola as probably the only one whose future's up in the air.
Yeah, I think Andy you'd imagine he'll probably move on. I don't think he's going to... Yeah. He's had his chance this year and obviously came in a difficult period for the team, but didn't really show that he should be starting ahead of Maloney. And I think he wants to try and get first team football, and I don't think he's likely to get that at Reading. I think obviously you've got Maloney, and then you mentioned Ward there. I think it'd be interesting because you can't really keep three young goalkeepers happy for too long, I don't think. If you've got three of them there, it's hard to push them all in. So whether one will go out on loan possibly, and Lewis Ward, like I say, he's had a good season, so I think he maybe travelled yesterday. I think obviously Clement will maybe try and have a little look at him. And Jonathan Bond, yeah, it'd be interesting. Whenever he's obviously done well in League One, so had they gone down, he might have obviously been a good option. But it'd be hard to see him coming in and going straight in as number one. And after a year or two as first choice, I don't think he'd want to come and sit on the bench now. So I'm sure he'll have plenty of offers, though. I think he's got a lot of potential, Jonathan Bond. But whether it's at Reading, I think is probably quite unlikely. I think they might be looking at possibly trying to bring him in, a goalkeeper even. Whether that's his first choice or as backup, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I think, like you say, Yokola will move on, and possibly one of the younger goalies will as well.
I think we've always traditionally done quite well with sort of the experienced goalkeepers, the number one, the likes of Adam Federici, and sort of a younger goalkeeper sort of to back up the likes of Alex McCarthy. Well, we seem to keep Mikael Anderson at the club for ages and ages. There are no defenders out of contract apart from the on loan Tommy Elphick, who we've already discussed. So we move on to the midfield, where I suppose the glaring one is Stephen Quinn, and he's been incredibly unlucky with injuries over the past few years. And am I right in thinking that his time is probably up, unfortunately, in football completely?
Yeah, so it seems that way. I think he's been struggling, obviously, with that injury, not just this season. I think he made three appearances, maybe two or three for this season. But yeah, he's never been anywhere near being back in the squad, really. He's had problems. And yeah, I think it sounds like he's moving away from football now, sadly, just purely because his body won't let him carry on anymore, which is a big shame. So I think he's obviously a really talented player, but obviously his contract's up now and he'll move on to the next chapter in his life, and it's sad to see him go. But he hasn't obviously featured Reading for much in the last year or a year and a half, really. So yeah, I think obviously he'll move on, and it'll be, I think they'll try and get another body in central midfield as well.
I mean, I was quite impressed with him in his first year or so at the club. I thought he had sort of a different option in the midfield. And he could play on the left wing as well. So it is sad. I think he's still in his early 30s, so it's still quite young to retire. But sadly, when you have a sort of a backlog of injuries, it's quite unfortunate to stop. Up front then, Dennis Riquelme and Joseph Mendes are both out of contract. Both have shown very, very brief glimpses of quality in a Reading shirt, and obviously, we haven't seen much of either of them this season, with Raquel's out on loan and Joseph Mendes being injured for the majority of the campaign. What is the likelihood that either of them will extend their contract? I suspect not very likely.
No, I can't see Dennis Raquel's staying. Obviously, Paul Clement hasn't even seen him train or anything, and I can't imagine he'll be planning. I don't think his loan spells have gone perfectly either, so I don't think he'll be planning for life with him in the squad. And Mendes will be an interesting one. He's been training quite a lot with the first team recently, so it's whether or not Clement's seen enough there to put him in. Obviously, he's sort of been fit enough to play for 23s, and he hasn't been involved in the first team still, so you can't imagine he's sort of too high on Clement's radar. But I think he'll get a decent move. Obviously, he was linked with Bolton, wasn't he, in the January window, so I'm sure he'll get a move, but I'm not sure they'll be offering him a new deal. If it is, it might sort of be maybe a year long one, because obviously he's had a lot of injuries to work his way around. So I think there is something in there with him, but it's a fitness problem and just can't seem to get a run of games, so I'm not too sure he'll be sticking around either.
He's a lot older than I thought as well. I think he's about 28. I thought he was about 23, 24, so he's certainly not a spring chicken. As for the rest of the squad, there are probably plenty of players that fans want to depart, and I'm sure there'll be some departures that will surprise us as well. I'm sure very few people actually saw Roy Bierans leaving in January, but I'd probably say player of the season, Liam Moore, is probably the player that is most important to keep, but equally at the same time, probably the most in-demand player in the squad. He's quite a frustrated figure at times this season, Liam Moore, and understandably so with all the defeats racking up. And he has been linked with Premier League moves in the past. Do you see him being at Reading that season? Is there a price for him that you think the club would sort of be forced to accept?
Everyone's got a price, of course, but it's... I don't know, it'd be interesting. I can't really see a Premier League club going and buying a centre-back now who's been struggling in the Championship all season.
He's certainly not as had a good a season this season as he had last season.
No, obviously, and no one in the squad has. No. And his stock was never higher than it was last year, really, despite obviously being in the Championship. So it would be a surprise to see a Championship club come in and take him. Obviously, maybe another Championship club might do with bigger resources. That would be something to look at. But it would be surprising now to see him make that step up, so I don't think he'd want to go somewhere and not play. So I think it's more likely now that he might stay and be part of Reading squad next year, which obviously be a big boost. And I think if they are to do well, he's going to have to be one of the key men in that. So yeah, I think he'll stay, and you look down the rest of the squad and I'm sure a few of them will attract some sort of interest, but when you have such a poor season in the Championship, it's obviously is a sort of more in your hands so you try and get rid of rather than you're fighting off offers for. Obviously you look at maybe Joey Vandenberg could be one that he possibly tries and moves on. I'm not sure he's really been under much too much favour under Paul Clement. And looking down the squad now, really, there's a few that I think they might be under threat. George Evans, another one. There's certainly some that I think would move on if they can get the offers for them. But I think they'll certainly want to try and keep hold of Liam Moore, and I'd be a bit more confident that'll happen this year than maybe in January or last summer.
I think he's probably inadvertently helped himself by not having the best season, so has to take himself sort of off the radar of the bigger clubs. We will end the show and the season then by taking one final look back at 2017-18. And in the end, Reading finished 20th on 44 points. That's our lowest second-tier finish and points tally since we were relegated in 1998. We were overtaken by Birmingham on the final day, who beat Fulham in their final game, whilst Bolton also survived in that dramatic game at Nottingham Forest. Two goals late on to secure a 3-2 win, I think. Adam Lafondre got one goal and set up the other two, so fantastic for him. And obviously Jem Carrachan and Phil Parkinson, so fantastic to see them stay up. It was Burton and Barnsley who joined Sunderland in League One next season. I suppose the big question here, Tom, is just how did Reading go from being two penalty kicks away from the Premier League last season to having to wait until the final day of this campaign to secure their championship status? And there are multiple answers to this question. We could sit here for hours discussing it, and it would be obvious to say Yap Stam, and obviously whilst it obviously the decline hasn't been completely down to him, and far from it, he was the man working with this group of players for the majority of the season, and just couldn't quite get them to perform as he could last season. There has been discussion that we're sort of now seeing that Reading were supposedly lucky, so to speak, to finish third last season. And whilst I don't think a team can be lucky to finish third after a 46 game season, it certainly almost does seem as if the stars aligned completely for Reading last season. Sort of everything clicked into place with the like Jan Kermigan had his best career season by a mile and got 18 goals, which he hadn't topped before, and sadly this season sort of everything has sort of failed to fall into place for him.
Yeah, it's been a bit of everything really. It's been a question that's been asked to both Yap and Paul Clement all season. I mean, I'll be quite glad to hear the back of the questions about being one or two kicks away from the Premier League, because that'll be distant memory now. But I think it's like you say, a bit of luck certainly does play a part. I think even Yap admitted that towards the end of his time, that things went for them last year. They had so many tight games. They won 2-1 at home, and sort of last minute penalty saves and last minute goals and things like that, which over the course of the season add up. I think Cardiff had quite a lot of late goals this year, so that's the sort of thing that happens. And obviously the stars aligned right until the playoff final at Wembley, really. But I think this year as well, I think it came as a little bit of a shock to quite a lot of the players, and I don't think too many of them were ready for a relegation battle. I don't think they had a squad built up for that, and I thought we saw that in the last few months. They weren't grinding out the results as often enough as they had to. I think losing Alhabsi and Williams has played a big part as well. I think obviously Williams is the sort of fight you would have needed for this season. It was played such a big role last year as well, and I think Alhabsi was, while we weren't sort of overly, I wouldn't say overly disappointed, but overly worried when he left, you think you could replace him. I think he's shown by not being there this year just how important he was last year as well. So losing those, I think it's been injuries has been a big part as well. Obviously every team gets injury, but it seemed at Reading every couple of weeks, whenever someone came back, someone else got injured, and they couldn't really name a settled team for months and months of the season. And just as the results kept going wrong, it's with those injuries as well, it's just they all piled up and pressure grew, and losing becomes a bad habit, and they couldn't break that cycle really. So I think there was a lot of different things that went wrong. Obviously then they changed the manager when they at the last chance they had to do it, and obviously Paul Clement's come in and got the job done essentially, so they just about managed to rescue it at the end. But yeah, it's been you'd like to think it'd be a big learning curve for a lot of these guys, that they don't want something like this to happen again next year, you'd hope. So I think it could help them in the long run, but it's been a largely forgettable season. I think they're just, obviously mentioned a bit of luck last year finishing third, I think there's quite a lot of luck that they didn't get dragged further into relegation this year as well. So yeah, they've got the positive is that things in the Championship can change so quickly from one season to the next, so I think next year there's no reason to sort of dwell on it. I think they've got players in the squad, like we've mentioned, who are good enough to push on up the league, and I think that has to be the focus now, especially with the management team they've got in. So yeah, what one to forget, but they're lucky enough that they've just done enough to stay in the league, and we go again next year.
I mean, I think naturally when you go from third and league to fighting relegation battle, it's always going to take a sort of a mental hit on your on sort of players' sort of attitude towards the game. And as you mentioned, we have sort of seen that this season. And I was going to mention Ali Alhabsi. Obviously, we saw him in the stands at Cardiff on Sunday, which was brilliant to see. And Danny Williams. And whilst Alhabsi's sort of been, he has been replaced by Milone. Milone hasn't been as good as Alhabsi, but he's not been atrocious. But I think it's probably Williams that we've struggled to replace the most. Probably that sort of hunger and that drive in midfield that's really been lacking this season. And for me, a key error was recruitment last time. I think splashing far too much money on on Sonny Aluko, who's been nothing short of horrendous, to be honest. While signing someone sort of like Dave Edwards, who he himself sort of has admitted he doesn't really fit into the system that Reading play.
Yeah, no, it's funny because when those two arrived, I was fairly optimistic about the signing. Yeah. I think Dave Edwards has been good at this level for a number of years. He's an international player, and Aluko was brilliant last year for Fulham. So it looked like on paper two really good signings, and then it just hasn't really worked out. I think Danny Williams, I think the idea was to replace him with Bakuna, but Jordan Nabita got injured, so he had to play a lot of his football at fullback, and there was no one else really who could play in midfield. He had sort of Swift, Kelly, and George Evans, and obviously you got Vandenberg in there as well, but he doesn't quite have the same impact as Danny Williams. And yeah, I think that was a big thing. I think Bakuna in the long run could play that role if they can get enough cover for fullback. So that didn't help Yap at all. And obviously they tried to bring in strikers. Obviously you lose Kermigan as well. But you basically lost Habsi, Williams, and Kermigan from last year. So we haven't really had the same Kermigan all season. So
you probably are three key players last season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've lost three, and then obviously the other one was Liam Moore, and he dipped in the first half of the season massively. So the four key men from last year, right down the spine of the team, you've lost, and the players who have come in around them, some of them haven't really clicked. So yeah, I think recruitment is, in hindsight, a big part of it. But I think they've signed. Had the team been doing well, I think Sean Iluka would be a lot better. I don't think he's perfectly set up for. He's one of those who's not set up for the relegation battle. So I think next year, if he is still here and they're fighting at the right end of the table, I think he could still have a good impact. You can still see what he can do. But yeah, it's far too sparse from him, his quality this season. So yeah, the recruitment obviously didn't work out in quite a lot of cases. Obviously Mo Barra's worked out, but the rest of them haven't really gone to plan. And yeah, like I say, at first glance it looked like they were decent signings, but this haven't gone to plan. It's something they're going to have to look at this summer, I think.
I mean, in fairness, I mean, you did mention Mo Barra there. I think he's probably, from my point of view, probably been Reading's best winger probably since Jimmy Kebbe. He's got 10 goals this season. And as we mentioned last week on the show, that without those 10 goals, Reading would probably be playing League One football next season. So whilst he was a highlight, I think, as I said, I think Manone's been a fairly good replacement for Ali Al-Habsi, but we can only hope that Brian Tevreden and Ron Gordo sort of do better in the transfer market this summer. Do you think Tevreden takes the lead on that one, or is it Gordo sort of who's taking over on the transfer front this summer?
That's going to be interesting to see. It's obviously the first window without Yap being there along with Brian, but I still think Brian Tevreden is leading the sort of the player recruitment drive. Obviously Gordo was the big factor in bringing Paul Clement to the club, so I'm sure him and Paul will have players in mind, possibly from sort of former clubs that they want to try and look at. And I think Clement, that one thing about Clement is he'll have really good contacts as well from his old club, so I think he'll have quite a big say as well in the sort of players they look at. Obviously Tevreden and Yap brought in quite a lot of guys from Holland, and obviously that sort of link won't really carry on anymore, you wouldn't have thought. So I think it'll be more sort of English-based players that Clement will know, and it'll be then down to Tevreden to go and get the job done. I'm sure he's got ideas of the sort of people. I think it'll be more the case if he goes and tells Brian the sort of positions he wants, and he'll go and look for them. So yeah, I think it'll be perhaps a little less focused on Tevreden now, obviously, because he worked so closely with Yap before, so they're going to have a better relationship naturally than Clement might do at the start. But yeah, I think Clement and Gourlay will have a big part to play in it this time, and I think we'll see the signings come in. I think you'll see the clear imprint from those two on those signings.
Yeah, I think if we can use Paul Clement's links to Real Madrid to get Cristiano Ronaldo on loan, I think that would be certainly beneficial indeed. So that then just about rounds off the Tyler Sten podcast extra for 2017-18. Tom, for the final time this season, what can we look forward to on the working paper in the coming days, and indeed over the summer as well?
Yeah, so obviously we've spoken to quite a lot of the players in the last few weeks. We've sort of held some stuff back from that, which we'll get up over the summer. Obviously, we've got John Daly heading to the World Cup with Iceland. We've got a few bits with him and some of the players there, so that'll be coming up. And yeah, I think we've got Colin from Sim coming up in the next week or so as well, hopefully. And yeah, I think it's going to be a busy summer, so I think there'll be quite a lot to look out for before they come back into training at the end of June, I think it is, or the start of July. And then, and then it's going to be, I don't think they've announced where they're heading off for pre-season yet, but yeah, I think there'll be a game at the Magstad at the end of July, I think, probably. And yeah, then we'll go again full of optimism, I'm sure. So yeah, head over to the website for that, and we'll put it up online and on Twitter and stuff. So yeah, it's just, like I say, good that it's all over, I think, with still in the Championship. I think that's the happy note to end on.
Fantastic stuff. I think the fixtures come out on the 21st of June. I might be wrong in saying that. It might be the 18th. Might be getting mixed up. And of course, the transfer window, of course, closes earlier than usual this season after the EFL voted to shut it before the season starts. I think it shuts on the 9th of August, but I think the championship season starts on the 4th, potentially. I might be wrong, but fantastic stuff. Then thank you very much, Tom, for joining me this week and indeed throughout the season. I know you're a busy man, so your time has been much appreciated this season, and it's been great fun discussing Reading each week, even if we've not always had the match to be happy about.
Yes, pleasure, Ollie. I'm not sure to use the word fun at times for some of the games we've had to sit through this season, but yeah, it's been really good, and look forward to next season.
No worries at all. We should hopefully be back next season, providing the powers that be at Tyleston will have us. Hopefully, if we've done our jobs well, they might have us back.
Yeah, hope so. We'll have to have a word with the bosses and see what they say. But yeah, we've done our job anyway. We've stuck to our end of the bargain, I think.
We've secured our safety, hopefully. Whilst that is it for myself and Tom this season, there'll be two more podcasts to hit your feeds before the summer starts, and we all go into World Cup mode. And on Thursday, there should be a special podcast with the women's team coming out, whilst next weekend we'll see the main show finale with Mark. That's been recorded live at Spread Eagle Pub in Tyleston, 8 p.m. on Thursday. So get yourself down there if you want to get involved and have your say on Reading's season. On the website this week, we've got loads of post-season content from our Player of the Year vote to Goal of the Year, Game of the Year, and lots more. So go over to thetyleston.com to check that out. But now, all that's left for me to say, safe in the knowledge that Reading will be playing Championship football next season, is thank you for listening to today's show and throughout the campaign. We hope you have a fantastic summer and have enjoyed all the shows this season. Come on, you Oz.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at thetylehurstend
and facebook.com/thetylehurstend.